Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked. The way she had turned the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool. Her eyes were clear and bright. But she's not there. Well, no one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about. Should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked. The way she had turned the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool. Her eyes were clear and bright. But she's not there.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes. If you are a moron or a member of the PTL Club, please turn off your radio, because we don't need any more stupid, narrow-minded, pencil-neck geeks who wouldn't know the First Amendment if it came up and bit them on the butt. Thank you.
Hi, this is Zach from UTForums.com.
This is X-Men from StoneAdams.com.
Hi, this is Lord of Doom from UTZen.
Hi, this is MungoZen from MungoZen.com.
Hi, this is Gleam from LWZ.
Sup, y'all? This is the Count from Wolfit.com.
Howdy, this is Talon from UTScripts.net.
Give me a radio check.
And you're listening to Oswald on Urban Radio.
Oswald, Urban Radio.
You're listening to Oswald.
Oswald on Urban Radio.
Oswald on Urban Radio.
You're listening to Oswald on Urban Radio.
All right, you fools, grab your flashlight and your UMP-45. It's time to go retro on Urban Radio. Details in a minute.
Softbound skill will triumph the weak fall down.
have you in my sight. I'll hug my rifle nice and tight. You won't know that you've been found till I put you in the ground.
Man down!
Your team will be target practice. And for you, I will not miss.
Oh, man.
You will fear my aim, and you'll remember the game, Urban Terror.
And what is up? It is Oswald here with you. Saturday is upon us, and wow, I am like so juiced up on caffeine right now. My hands are shaking with anticipation, ready to get the show on and go retro this week. That's right. We are here to take you inside the game of Urban Terror. We do that each and, well, almost every week. Last week, I actually had to postpone the show since I had some extenuating circumstances. And actually, I had to hang drywall in our master bathroom. So it was a little bit higher on the priority list than being able to bring you, the listening audience, Urban Radio. Fear not, though. We are back for about a two-hour show today on Inside the Game as we go retro. And you can download today's show and all previous shows from RadioITG.com through our sponsor, FileCloud.com. As I posted earlier in the week, we are playing Urban Terror 1.27 today on the Urban Radio Server of the Week, sponsored by Jagged at VT Networks. And I'm not going to say, well, yeah, I got the jitters. I'm like, my hands are like shaking as I pick up my Diet Dr. Pepper and drink some more. Ah! I feel like Beavis. Okay, I got that out. All the information you need for the Urban Radio Server of the Week is on urbanterror.net. Just click on Urban Radio, and that'll give you all the server information there. I'm in the server right now and looking at it, and you better get a spot. We're about half full, so 10 slots, get yours now, or you can pay me for a private slot. How's that? Just kidding. We'll talk a little bit about 1.27 a little later on in the show, as this was a version that really brought the mod to the forefront of the Quake 3 Arena community. There are two new interviews circulating among the Urban Terror and the ET communities. Tosspot at Crossfire, that's xfire.be, inquired about the upcoming port to ET. He's also a member here of Inside the Game, caster, Call of Duty, so he hit me up for some information, and I'll give you that link a little bit later on in the show. And also Takro from the Portuguese community, a member of TAV, Terra Ad Vincent, one of the clan-based clans right now. He also requested an interview. Both of those, if you want to find them and have not read them, are actually over on the Enemy Territory forums here on the Urban Terror forums. So you can check all that out. If you've been under a rock recently, we have posted a new animation on the website, thanks to Flash, our newest SID member. And yes, I was told that I did post an old file, but I understand that was updated. So thanks to Wolfside for updating that for me, as I think that was passed on by Blade Killer, so props to both of them. Do you have Gosu in you? What am I talking about? Gosu's a server-side-only pack that is currently being tested on community servers. We'll get to more on that a little bit later on the show, as any change in the game is bound to cause controversy. Gosu is no different. We expected it, as 27 has been updating the pack. It was updating the pack on a pretty much a daily basis since it's released, I think, a week ago, this coming Sunday. All that and more today on Urban Radio, and when we come back, we'll get things started with the Urban Terror Talking Point.
4 out of 5 dentists agree that listening to Radio ITG has absolutely no positive effect on your teeth.
So apparently, the odds are 1 in 5 that your teeth are actually getting whiter in this very moment.
You can thank us later. This is the new Radio ITG.
Now, turn up the radio, get into 1.27. Little accept here. It's Saturday. It's time for Urban Radio, and you are tuned to the only station you need to know online, Inside the Game.
We'll be right back.
one spots of pure shoutcast power. This is Radio ITG.
Oh my, what is up? As you can just hear the sheer madness in the background here as we are inside the game already, and just listening to it, you can't get 20 people on the Map Hotel. It is just a frag fest, and everybody right now having there. So grab 1.27, remove your Q3 key, and get inside the game. 1.27 today. Everybody seems to be having a good time. They're welcome back to Radio ITG. It is Oswald here with you. So what's going on? It's another Saturday. The weekend is in full swing, and you are tuned to Inside the Game. What else could you ask for? And yes, I see No Leaf Clover asking for his mandatory Metallica. You know what? If I can get some queued up later on, I will do that just for you. As for me, well, Hot Lips and I are headed out a little bit later today. We're going to knock off a bank, and we've got the UMP-45s ready and the Kevlar, and we're ready to rock. Okay, so maybe you don't believe that. Actually, we're headed out to a sitting pig tonight for all-you-can-eat crab. That's right. It's a local thing they have here in town. So looking forward to coming home fat, dumb, and happy. And, well, maybe I'm already fat and dumb, but nonetheless, I will come home happy because I'll be a full bastard. As for the show, join the Urban Radio Server of the Week now. Slots are filling quickly. As many want to get in the game, load up with their flashlight, Blaster. Are you around? Has anybody seen Blaster? Somebody get that Dane and get his ass on the server. He has wanted 127. He has wanted his flashlight. And now is the chance. So somebody wake his nappy ass up over in Denmark and get him on the server. That way I don't have to listen to his complaining here. If you want to keep up on all the Urban Terror action, go to www.radioitg.com and click on Schedule. This will give you a complete listing of the upcoming shows and matches that are scheduled. Currently, I do host Just Push Play on Wednesdays, Urban Radio on Saturday, and in between those days, right now it's all about Clan Base, and we are in the middle of the Spring 2005 Open Cup group stage play continuing. We'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show, as will we also get word here from No Leaf Clover, who covered the STA Pro Bowl this last week. As for the Urban Terror talking point, I mentioned in the intro, do you gosu? Sounds almost like that Hello Moto, that mobile phone commercial, but the question still begs to be answered. Do you gosu? In Korean, gosu literally means a better hand. It's usually used to refer to a person with great skill, usually in martial arts or baduk. Currently on the internet, though, gosu often refers to a good gamer, a good player, or an item in a computer game such as StarCraft, Diablo II, Lineage, or Warcraft III, Frozen Throne. The word comes from the Mandarin Chinese term gaoshou, which means literally high hand, and gaoshou is someone with a large amount of skills. So gosu is currently a server-side test pack started by 27 2 weeks ago. And what does it do? Well, the gosu badge has adjusted damage figures of the current weapons from pistol to sniper rifles. In the past week, this is 2 weeks ago, we went through seven different versions. So version 7 is our current version on the servers. We do have a large thread in the Urban Terror forums going on about it. So if you happen to stumble upon that, it's got about 300 responses to it. But it's basically just community feedback on the patch. And obviously, everybody's going to have a different idea when it comes to how they think the patch or this test should be modified or altered, basically depending on their style of play. So if you suck, you know, you want something that you can basically spam like 1.27 and get a headshot. Anyways, we did fire off a few questions to 27 here. Very simple questions. I really didn't go too in depth here because this is just a test. I ask him, why did you create it? He says, I don't know, largely just hanging out with No Leaf Clover and Broly shooting the shit about Counter-Strike Source, 2-3, overpowered helmets, critical hits, things like that. What did he hope to gain from it? Just seemed like a good thing to try. Nothing, just a bit of feedback and maybe a game fun for a few people, which I do think for the majority, most of the responses have been very positive, depending on which version they commented on. But for the most part, I'm going to say probably 90%, and there's that freaking 10% that, you know, thinks they are owed something. But the 90%, maybe 95% think that everything's pretty cool with the gosu test pack. And finally, I asked him, well, what do you think of the feedback you have seen? He says, mostly. He says, oh, cool. Actually, that's not Yeah, that's right. Campy SR8 users hate it. Assault SR8 users love it. Certain headshot crazy fool is upset because it takes the emphasis of headshots being a game-making skill, but personally, I've never felt headshots were consistent and not spamming the head region enough, or guns have random spread for that to apply. Instead of loading this test pack file on a few test servers we used, this is more or less an open public test, and we have provided... We've been provided a great wealth of information back from the community. Sans the three-year-old comments from some gamers who still have not grasped the idea of providing something instructive rather than just saying, well, you know what, Sid? It sucks. I guess we forgot to tell you, you little three-year-old, that this is only a test. It's not permanent, and if you don't like the test pack, you know what? Then go find a server that doesn't have Gosu installed. It's that simple, and they are out there. So we're going to head into our break here on Urban Radio, and when we return, we're going to check out the Urban Terror 5, the top 5 items of the week, this week courtesy of the community. So keep it right here on Inside the Game.
Quake 3, Counter-Strike. Quake 3, Counter-Strike. Quake 3, Counter-Strike.
Turn this car around if you do not shut up!
Quake 3 and Counter-Strike. And a whole lot more. This is the all-new family-oriented radio. ITG.
Everybody sing along at home. Very simple lyrics. Girls! You got to be a little kid inside or else you'll grow old. And even though I am 35, I am still a kid at heart. I dig my computer games, dig my Xbox, and the fact that I have a wife that'll kick my ass in Urban Terror anytime. She keeps me honest. Anyway, welcome back. It is Oswald. You are inside the game. And yeah, little Beastie Boy is there. Girls, we all know them. We all love them. And aren't you glad that we can play with them? This week, we turn to the community for the UT5. That's the Urban Terror Top 5 Items of the Week. This week's top 5 list comes from Roadkill, longtime Urban Terrorist from Stockholm, Sweden. If you would like your Urban Terror Top 5 read on air, go over to the Rant and Raves forum. And there is a thread in there called Urban Terror Pet Peeves, I believe it's called. And just list your top 5 items, and I will definitely get those on the air for you. As I said, this week, the Urban Terror Top 5 presented by Roadkill. Number 5, people whining about being killed. BS, no hit, Lucker, sure, etc. Oh my God, you died. But you're so elite. How can it be? Fools. Number four, people whining about overpowered weapons. It's not the gamer's fault, hence nothing the gamer can do anything about. So STFU and game. Okay, I can deal with that. Number three, people who join the server and immediately call for a map change vote. And if it fails, they call a new one. And if it fails, they call a new one. Come on now. Number three. Number two, people who call a new map change vote when a map has been voted to change to, I want to play, not look at a loading screen, wait for the start time to roll out, and then wait for people to get in. Thanks. And finally, his number one pet peeve on the Urban Terror Top 5, people who play Team Survivor in pubs and camp when there's only two players left and 10 gamers did. Yeah, it's cool to want to win, but FFS, do it fast. And if you need any definition as to FFS, just ask Impound Urban Terror. I'm sure somebody will be more than happy to oblige you with an answer. So thanks to Rody for his top five pet peeves this week. If you'd like to provide yours, as I said, your top five Urban Terror items, you can go to the R&R forum and post it in a topic called Top 5 Urban Terror Pet Peeves, or send me an email, oswald@planetquake.com. It's that time. You have been... fair warning all week long. Hopefully you have set time aside to download and install Urban Terror 1.27. Now, many gamers have not had the opportunity or never knew this version of the mod actually existed. This was sort of the breakout version of Urban Terror. And it was the one that sort of put Sid on the map and really took hold in the community. And I do want to thank Jagged once again at VT Networks for getting the for getting all of you to experience 1.27 in all its glory. This version is absolutely nothing like the current 3.7 version you know and play now. Not like Gosu either. Well, it's basically aim and spam, or don't even aim, just spam. And I'll get some of that here in a moment. The main differences you will notice is the overall speed of the game. 1.27 was the last version that we created that had no stamina. After that, we jumped into 2.0, and every version after that had some sort of a stamina involved in it. Some say the mod was ruined at that point. I say to those, they could just not adapt to change, and typical gamers. Version 1.27 was released on December 21st, the year 2000. Can you believe that? Almost 5 years ago. That's how old this is. Damn. Wow. It was the fourth version of Urban Terror inside of 4 months after the initial release at QuakeCon 2000, August 5th of that same year. This version was mainly a bug fix from Dr. 8 and Gotta Be KD. Release coincided with the 1.27G point release from id Software as well. Here are some of the changes that 1.27 had in it. Urban Terror 1.27 was now compatible with the most up-to-date 1.27 point release. The guns were tweaked for more intense gameplay. I think you'll experience that when you drop in the server. If you actually get the chance, there are still slots open, so get in there now. Streets is what we're on, and gamers continue to kick some serious ass in there. This is one of the maps you want to play, too. Streets, it's mad crazy. Shotgun issues addressed, faster reload, faster rate of fire, more damage. No kicking during warm-up. Spectators can no longer use the radio. You can't change your name if you're not alive. I can now see your enemy's name if you put the crosshair on him. Weapons switch a bit faster. We remove the Quake 3 announcer, the prepare to fight. No longer lose a frag when you switch teams. There's new grenade explosion effects, which match the radius better, and there's also some smoke to them. The grenade timer reduced, so they arm sooner. Dead status now shows in non-team survivor modes. You can heal your teammates again. Door opening direction can now be controlled by player movement. The spectator score bug fixed. What else do we have? The first round of a new map always has a 20-second warm-up to allow people to join. Weapons that were actually included in 1.27 were the UMP-45, the HK-69, the knife, the SPAS-12, the PSG-1 sniper rifle, the Beretta, and the G-36. And that's my phone. Screw it. I'm going to let it ring. Some of the levels that were also included that we're playing today, Hotel, Streets, Train Yard, M-Base, Swim, just to name a few. We actually had the server up yesterday. I do want to thank Jagged for dropping that online here, but we did play last night, in fact. I was on there with a couple of the guys. Squad Leader was on there for a while. Who else was on there? Somebody else from the forums. Can't remember his name. Anyway, we're on there for, I probably played for two and a half hours yesterday, and It was just a great time, very fast, and it really shows you what Urban Terror has become. I mean, like I said, it's completely different than the version you know now. And if you're listening to the show right now and you get the Q3 key, the CD key error, just remove or rename the Q3 key file in your base Q3. That will allow you to play on the server here. And as I said, you better hurry because slots are filling fast. And I'm sure you'll all want to experience this. So without any further delay, join the server now. You can connect to the server, and all that information I do have for you, the IP address, as I scroll down in my notes here. I thought I put that on there. I failed you all. I thought I put it on there. Oh, there it is. It's called the Urban Radio URT 1.27, hosted by VT Networks. The IP address 66.246.72.134. Note the port 27970. It is located here in the USA. Admin is Jagged. I also have Archon. The game mode TDM. Why TDM? Well, because it is sort of the show, and just to prove and not let anybody sit out around, we decided just to go with TDM. Could have gone with just straight deathmatch and see who, like, the king of the server would have been. But, you know, that may get a little boring for people. So it's playing team deathmatch. Even if you don't like it, you'll have a great time. Friendly fire is on. Respawn time, there actually really isn't any. It is 25 minutes per map, 20 public spots, and the maps currently in the rotation include Streets, Train Yard, M-Base, Docks, Swim, Ricochet, Village, and Hotel. And if you've ever seen 20 people on Hotel, it is nearly impossible to play. You'll see if you get in there. So anyways, that is the Urban Radio server of the week. We'll check out the action here a little bit later on in the show. And hopefully you'll have a chance to experience this terror, and also a good chance as we will most likely play this next week. I'm thinking about putting up a 1.27 European server. I've had somebody offer that up. So hopefully we'll get around to doing that next week. So it's time to step away again for another break. And when we return, we'll check out a new level review from Squad Leader. So stay tuned for all that. It's Oswald. You're inside the game. We're coming right back.
And let's see, who wants weed eye off the air?
Dude, I know nobody wants...
Who wants weed eye off the air? Eye off the air.
I don't want weed off the air.
I got one, and that's a map.
Get off my phone!
Legs.
Oh, I'm not going to deal with this shit tonight.
Great, that means I'm not going to get any more death threats. This is awesome.
The new radio, ITG. Down. There's one, two, and sleep ball rings
Dark Lord Sam sitting on his throne in a land so dark where I have to go. I'll keep the ring. I'll keep the ring. I'll keep.
Welcome back to Inside the Game. Oswald here with you this Saturday as the show continues on as we move over to the UTMD level review with Hybrid-esque, taking some time off with the stress of the final year of uni. I did put a call out to the community and they actually responded. Thanks to Band Squad Leader as he responded and we return with the review here of the week. Why do we do this? Well, many gamers want to play a wider variety of levels, but one of the biggest complaints come from gamers who are tired of playing Casa and Turnpike and playing that over and over. So by spotlighting a new level each week and usually having it on their Urban Radio server of the week, with the exception of this week, we're trying to help out the new levels that come into the community here and give the designer their due credit, if it is so warranted. Some maps, I just got to be honest with you, they suck. I mean, you would think they're right out of Action Quake 2. That's how old some of these look. Yeah, I know I'm not a big fan of community levels, and I've really been working hard to like more community levels. Ask Wolfseye. We talk about it here on a semi-regular basis, but it's hard to like a level when it's just plain bad. I mean, if the layout's lacking, I mean, not even good-looking textures are going to help a map. And most of my knowledge and comments basically come from years of reviewing bad levels for Action Quake 2 at the AQMD and also doing some Action Quake and Urban Terror maps on the sixth floor. So, I may not know all the technical jargon when it comes to map making, but I do feel I have a pretty good understanding as to what makes a good map and what doesn't make a good map. So with that said, today's review is of UT Canyon by Null. This map was released in the Urban Terror Mapping 2004 map contest. Null uses this map to stake his claim as the terrain master of Urban Terror. I will give him one thing. It is a step up from Sands. It's an incredible exhibition of technical mapping, and this map is actually more popular among the mapping community than the playing community because we know how hard it is to make a map like Canyon. It's probably the best-looking terrain in the game, and it runs flawlessly, and I'll give him that. I ran through it last night. The map is rather large, and some Sands comparisons could have been thrown around, and they are. And I think I'll just hold off on all my comments. I have a little list at the end here. However, Canyon plays smaller than Sands because the layout makes it easier to get straight from one point to another, like going from one base to the other if you're playing CTF. It is a mirrored map, plays well with 16 players or so. A 6v6 can get slightly tedious, but it can still be fun. The layout is well thought out, although it caters towards snipers a little more than you would like to. If Noel would go back, make the map a little smaller and do something to make each part of the canyon look unique, I think we'd have a killer map on our hands. The look and feel are excellent. It just gets repetitive as he uses a total of about 5 textures throughout the entire map. Overall, though, it's an incredible technical achievement that just falls short in detail and in size. Squad Leader says 7 of 10, although it would be an easy 9 if it were a little smaller and a little bit more detailed. Now, I wasn't actually able to experience gameplay on Canyon, but I do echo some of the same sentiments as Squad Leader. The level is, honestly, too large. You could do away with a couple of the routes And I think you could still do a very successful map. Texturing, even though it is a terrain level, it does need some help. Then again, I might be spoiled because considering what I've seen Rabid Cow and Blade Killer do recently on some work, oh my God, that's about all I can say to describe it. It is freaking awesome. But nonetheless, this is a good attempt by Null for UT Canyon. And we have tossed around the ideas, talked about this map a little bit. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Some of the other things also, I would lose the teepees. I mean, teepees. Why? This is not a Western mod. This is not Western Quake 3 or whatever that was called. Lose the teepees. I don't like them. Then again, you don't have to take my information. And I would also add some other buildings to the level. You know, maybe an outlook, a lookout post over the canyon where the water is. Granted, maybe not to climb up in, but just some more identifying things on the map so you know where you are. Because being a mirrored map and looking relatively similar on both sides, it's very difficult to tell a team member where you are. Gameplay, I would actually have to get in to the gameplay to see how it plays. But, I mean, if a map can't play 5v5 or 6v6, I think you know it is too large. And there's also some good routes, but as I said, too large, a lot of dead areas. So I do think that would need to be updated if it were to be taken seriously for an urban terror level that's going to make it in on a regular basis. We see UT Streets ending, FS for the Blue Team on top 53, and Zenix, our urban terror trivia contestant finalist, for the red. And look at this, he had 63 deaths too. Look at this, we are on the classic map UT Train Yard. I'm telling you now, guys, if you miss out, you're gonna miss a lot, because Train Yard, people talk about classics, and you know, going back and playing this, I realize how much fun this is, even though I've smack talked it for so many years. 127, it is fun. And like I said, it's fun because many people have not experienced it. They have not played it. They don't see how cheesy it is until you actually get in the game and play it. You know, and we're not here to boast about who's got the highest scores and stop mocking me. Thank you, Zenix. You know, we're not here to brag about the top scores or, you know, smack talk each other. We're here to have fun, and that is why we decided to do the 1.27 server today. So hopefully you've had time, and hopefully you have the 1.27 file. So I drop in the game. And to get your game on, because they are having a great time in there as I start watching the kills pile up here once again. We do have a couple openings still on the blue team, so I drop in there now and get your game on. As for our development update, and here we go again, more discussion about levels and what should or should not be included in the move to enemy territory. I can remember years ago, literally, gamers inquired as to why community levels were not included in the distribution of Urban Terror. And our answer at that time was predicated on the fact that we had a full staff of level designers who were continually working on new levels and improving their current levels. Thus, we included those levels in our releases. We never seriously considered community levels to be included for numerous reasons. First, as I said, we had enough levels and enough designers doing work. Second, it happens many times a new level is created, it's released, but you never hear again from the level designer. He, you know, is like Casper the Ghost. He finishes a level and poof, he disappears. But things have changed for ETUT. Why is that? First, the development team is very streamlined. We are doing this with a minimum number of team members. I think that number is about 5 or 6, maybe 7 at the outside. Granted, we're all multi-talented, well, with the exception of me. I mean, I can do radio and that's about it. I'm just kidding. I call myself a mapper, but I have never released anything. I guess I should do what Hybrid S does and call myself a level technician. And when I actually release a level, I can be called a level designer. And just a side note here, I know I'm getting off on a tangent. I actually started to redesign UT Train Yard. I'm sure Blade Killer remembers that, as I was bouncing questions off of her and Rabbit Cow all day long. You got to see it. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. But who knows? Maybe I'll show some pictures about that later. anyway, we still see Barbecue and Woo drop by now and then in our development channel, but our level designers are really down to Tub, Rabid Cow, Blade Killer, and even Flash to some degree. Flash has released a level. Blade Killer, as you know, she's done a lot of the tweaking on many of the maps, such as Rommel. And Rabid Cow, if you need to know, the guy knows everything when it comes to mapping. You have a question, bounce it off of him. I guarantee you he'll give you the correct answer. So it's those folks who really do much of the remaining work on the levels we support. So what levels will be included? Right now, there is not a final list. We have mentioned this previously on the forums and on Urban Radio. We have contacted, I believe, six, maybe seven community designers, some of whom are working on other projects who they don't actually have time in life, and their priorities are different, but they have all agreed to have their levels ported to ETUT, which is a good thing. As a team, though, Sid must decide which levels are going to stay with the Quake 3 version and which levels will be ported. Right now, if we don't have a .map file, and that's the file used to create the map, when it's compiled, it becomes what is known as a BSP, and that is actually what you load in the game. God, I almost sound like I know what I'm talking about. We'll most likely not port any of those levels. I'm sorry. If we don't have the map, we're not going to reverse engineer a map. Get the .map file and go back through, update the map, reskin it, retexture it. It's honestly, it's just not worth our time. And most of these levels, if they're like this, then you know what? They don't need to be ported. There's going to be plenty of levels on ETUT for you to play. If you don't believe me, just watch. The same thing happened with Urban Terror, especially 1.27. People got the idea that, hey, map making is easy. I can do it. And we had levels coming out our ass literally day after day for 1.27. I mean, we tried to keep up with them on the website. Couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. There were too many. So I don't think that argument of, well, there's not going to be enough levels that Sid sends that we can have. Well, that's not true. There will be. STFU, we know what we're doing. I'm just kidding. If a level designer is no longer active on the team, Dragon, there's a good chance that their levels will not be included. Why are we doing this? Again, in order to streamline what gets ported over to ET. Now, we do not intend on porting crap, or as AutoAim.cfg put it, UT Turnpike, and that's not really a smack at Turnpike on a post in the forums. I'm just talking about that, you know, we're not going to include crappy maps in our port. I think things have progressed so far along with ETUT, with UT in general, that I think we can have some serious levels ported over that are really good. So, granted, Turnpike, it's a solid map. It will be ported, I can tell you that right now. But he was just using Turnpike as a general catch-all for maps that are bad. So no offense to Woo, but like I said, that comment more intended to maps that are overplayed, like a Turnpike, like a Casa. Now, this decision on what to port is not new. We've had to make similar decisions when moving from 1.27 to 2.0, and then again from 2.x, whatever we ended at, to 3.0 and beyond. Levels, if not updated, do become dated and just plain old. I could not fathom playing Train Yard or Hotel, two of the levels we're playing today on 1.27. And hell, some servers even run Swim, which is terribly outdated. You tell me seriously, if you could see Train Yard played in 3.7 right now, it would cater all to snipers. The autos, especially the way they are now, would not rule. It would be a sniper fest map only, and trust us on this. We know what we're doing. We've been here 5 years, almost 5 years. We know what we're doing. So with all the technologies and techniques that are continually improving, we see more impressive and interesting levels being created. Now, I know interest and impressive do not usually lend to being a good map. It all starts with layout, and you definitely need a solid layout in order to get the rest of the pieces to fall into place. Now, I know this is not the time to talk about why they don't get played. We can save that discussion for another day, because it is another discussion in its own right. Looking at the thread in the development team has begun. We are talking about maps. We have a list of 10 currently that might be expanded to 12. It might go a little higher, but these 10 to 12 are maps that we have created, Sid has created, that we have the map files for. Now, before you all start complaining that it's not enough or leagues won't survive, just listen for a moment, and we will justify the reason behind our initial figures we have given here. First, these 10 to 12 levels are currently played. They're supported by the development team, and they'll all be updated by Sid and included in the port to UT. Combine these levels with another 6 or 8 levels from the community, and there you have 16 to 18 base levels on which to port to ETUT. Right now, there are not 18 levels that are played on a majority of the servers in the community, so I don't think the argument of not enough levels included is a valid remark. If you beg to differ, feel free. Send me a private message right now. Email me, and we can have that discussion. But 18 maps. You name 18 maps that are played on a regular basis, and I'll wear a hat that says Dunce on it on the next Shoutcast. And case in point, and I don't know how it is in North American leagues. I'm sure No Leaf Clover could probably touch on it. Actually, I do know how it is a little bit more. But for clan-based Open Cup action, each team chooses their home map. And each team chooses their home map as I'm watching Schminky Boys comment here. Yeah, thank you. There isn't five maps. And you play it. So predominantly in clan-based action, you see two maps. You see Turnpike. You see Casa. We have seen Docks. We have seen Uptown. We have seen Abbey 2. We have seen Sanctuary. And we have seen Algiers. That is it, folks. That is all the maps we have seen in clan-based action this Cup season. It's not like Stay, where each week you play a different map. But I still think if we include 16 to 18 maps, there's going to be plenty of maps. So, okay. See, now everybody sees it my way. Thank you. No Leaf Clover finally sees it my way. That's what I wanted to do. One thing this does mean, though, you might have to find a new favorite level. Sorry, call it the nature of the beast, but we're not going to continue to support oodles of levels that are old and outdated. And as I said, if we don't have the map file, bye-bye. We have opened up two threads for gamers to provide their input and give feedback. This sort of spawned off the thread that the Hybrid S started and Invis actually commented on. The first thread asks to list your top five Cid levels. Now, by top five, I don't mean that we're only including five. Top five levels that you want to see ported and your top five community levels. After crunching the results here last week, here's how the levels are broken down. And these numbers are about 5 days old. I haven't gone back and recalculated the totals. The top 10 maps that are Cid created: number one, Casa, 24 votes. Abbey 2, 22. Turnpike, 21. Number four is Algiers with 17 votes. Uptown is number five. Sanctuary, number six. Number seven is Docks, Rommel, P-Grounds, and Riyadh. That rounds out your top 10 right there. And those maps are predominantly played on almost every server. As for community levels, it breaks down like this. Number one is Subway. Number two, Paradise. Number three, Salima. Number four, Eagle, and number five, Laneway 2. And I only did the top five because after that, the number of votes really dropped off. So what does this all mean? Well, for starters, it does assist the development team in choosing what levels could possibly be included in the port. Unlike those negative comments from some gamers who don't believe we accept suggestions or comment, this is just another case in point that we do listen and do take community input into consideration. Casa, Abbey, Turnpike, I don't think those come as a surprise to anyone. Regardless of what you think of these levels, they are the most popular based on gameplay. Algiers, Uptown, and Sanctuary are the next three. I think that you'll see more people playing Algiers with Tub updating the level. Uptown, well, unfortunately, there is no dot map file. We can't find Battle Cow, so chances are this level is going to die with Quake 3 Urban Terror. Sanctuary, I'm so on Sanctuary. I don't like how it plays for Team Survivor, but I do think it is a modest CTF level from Barbecue. If he could update that, maybe change out some textures, I think it would be a better playing map. The final four levels, Docks, Rommel, P-Grounds, and Riyadh, they're sort of a mixed bunch here. The team will most likely update Rommel, right, Blade? P-Grounds, well, Dragon is no longer involved with Cid, but we might have the map file. I don't know. Riyadh, I have been trying for the last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks to get a hold of .exe via email, and I have not been able to do so. His @studmed.com does not work. And Docs is just plain old. It needs a lot of help. I don't think it can be included. Again, we'll have to see. Looking at the community selections here, the top five levels, as I said, Subway 2, Paradise, Salima, Eagle, and Laneway 2. Subway from the Earth, that will be included. Paradise, the last I heard from Excalibur, he was headed off to school somewhere in Europe or somewhere in Spain, and we really have not heard from him since. Salima, not a big surprise. Supposedly, Aussie Dude left the map file with Hybrid Esk, and I know he was working on it at one time, and he has worked in some changes, but I'm not sure where we stand on that right now with Salima. So if he can't do it, we might be able to con somebody in the Urban Mappers channel there to do so. Anyways, that is the current status of Salima. Hybrid Esk, if it has changed, feel free to send me a private message, and I will include that information in my little rant here. And I just got this from Squad Leader that he's been in talks with Blade and Ragone about P-Grounds, and they now have a .map file. So with some changes in P grounds, it might be included as well. Eagle by Machine, it's a solid level for CTF, but I do think it needs some work. Laneway 2 sort of comes as a surprise considering the amount of negative comments I hear about FPS and gameplay in Laneway 2, but it needs work to be included, and right now I just don't see that happening. We will be porting Crenshaw from Invis, regardless of what you think of him as a person, mapper, or his design. Honestly, I think he is a solid mapper. His style may not fit Urban Terror, and we did ask him at one time to be part of the Sid team. He declined just on the basis of, as I said, his ideas and our ideas really didn't jive, but definitely for Urban Terror, he was a level designer before his time, and now, being that he is lead level designer for the collective, he knows what he's talking about. He does make the necessary changes, and he will be porting Crenshaw. So now we just have to fill in the remaining levels, and that shouldn't be too difficult to do. And I see Blade Killer making a comment here. No, I know Laneway was not even discussed by the development team, but it was actually listed as one of the top five maps from the community. So that's where I got Laneway too. I would have never included that as one of the top five. Too many issues with that map. So hopefully that rounds out some of the comments here on development. And when we come back, we'll finish off the development update. You're inside the game. It's Oswald. We're coming right back.
Okay, so we all piled into the company kitchen and cooked up theories that every radio station that could possibly be successful had already been created. This theory held true for approximately 27 minutes until it was shot down by 13-year-old Jimmy Smith.
I just thought it sounded pretty dumb.
It sounded pretty dumb. So we decided to assemble a new station focused on games, gamers, gaming, and gaming.
You said gaming three.
Hey, shut the hell up. Tune in, listen, and play with Radio ITG. We go inside the game to provide you with live sports coverage. You wanted it. You got it. A gaming station devoted to...
Well, games.
So keep it here. Radio.
You guys are doo-doo heads.
And this song going out to No Leaf Clover. Here's your mandatory Metallica, my friend. No Leaf Clover.
Thank you.
Yes, it is.
Radio.
ITG.
That's right. You are inside the game. It is Oswald here with you. Urban Radio is on and live this Saturday. Glad you could be part of the show. The Urban Radio server of the week is still up and running. We are retro here. Urban Terror 1.27 is what we are playing. If you've just tuned in, go to urbanterror.net, click on Urban Radio, and you will find all the server information. 1.27 kicking everybody's ass right now. So, get yours kicked, why don't you? We come back with our development segment here, and I think it was Invis who made mention of this idea in his thread titled The Call for Help in the ETUT forum. He just beat us to the punch, so we'll say it now. Each level will have multiple BSP files. For example, UT Casa will have separate maps for Team Survivor, CTF, and Bomb, like UT Casa TS and UT Casa CTF. This should allow for a bit more flexibility for level designers who actually want to create a level for multiple game modes. So you can now update the TS game mode without actually having to touch CTF and vice versa. This should be a winning situation for everybody involved, and I'm sure this is a topic that we'll revisit in future shows. Now, on to something new that we posted on the website last Sunday, I believe it was. Thanks to the work by Flash, we have posted the first new weapon for Urban Terror since, I think it was the IMI Negave, wasn't it? Unless you count the Retro M4 rejoining the weapons cache. The FN P90 was actually modeled by Meaty in late 2003 and skinned by Blade Killer. At one time, I was being readied for a version of 3.X, and we had intended on adding that weapon, but due to circumstances and a down period for the development team, and, we just had a change in plans, and this weapon, like many other ideas, features, and items, it was scrapped. But with the port being worked on, this weapon could reemerge, along with some others. Right now, we have no vitals on it, such as the caliber, rate of fire, or the magazine size. And yes, I am quite aware that it's a 5.7 caliber. It holds 50 rounds and can shoot 900 rounds a minute. Don't think those stats are going to translate evenly over to Urban Terror. It will be, I'm not going to say nerf, but it will be comparable to something that we have now in the game. Right now, I think we should all be pleased with the upstart development on the P90. Again, thanks to Flash, who got things rolling with his reload animation, which is now available through a link on urbanterror.net, courtesy of activewar.de on the website. So check that out if you have missed it. And actually, that is going to do it for our development update this week. And when we return, we're going to check in on the action at the Retro 1.27 Urban Radio Server of the Week, thanks in part to Jagged. We'll be right back.
We'll do pretty much anything if the price is right.
Oh yeah, right there. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Shameless. Crowd. Radio.
Jesus.
Well, it helps if I turn the radio on. Welcome back to Urban Radio. Thanks for hanging with us today as we go retro. That's right. No, this is not just push play, and we are not rewinding to the 80s, but we are going back to 2000 on the Urban Radio Server of the Week, sponsored by VT Networks, thanks to Jagged. If you have not done so, go to the Urban Radio page right now, urbanterror.net. Click on Urban Radio, download and install 1.27. The server information is as follows. Server name is Urban Radio URT 1.27 server, hosted by vtnetworks.net. The IP address 66.246.72.134, port 27970, located in the USA. Our admin is Jagged. Game mode, Team Deathmatch. Friendly fire is on. Respawn time, well, there is none. 25 minutes per map. 20 public client spots. And the map rotation is as follows. Streets, train yard, Embase, dock, swim, ricochet, village, and hotel. Currently, we are on Embase. This is one of Gerbil's attempts at mapping here for Urban Terror 1.27. And I got to admit, it's actually a pretty horrible map. Then again, most of these maps we are playing today are pretty bad. Many spots open here, so grab your UMP-45 and come game in the action. Who do we have in the server right now? Fabian, P-Build, Happy Boy of AOW, Dan of Clan 666, myself, and Spook of Clan Fuzzy over on the red team. And for the blue team, well, it's E.T. Spellbinder, Rock.DK, Wiley Duck, and UP Nice Guy. Props to UP Nice, shoutcast to the Urban Pixies yesterday. Unfortunately, they got run off the field, but nonetheless, they were real gentlemen about it. And, okay, BLD, thank you. BLD is Blade. So Blade's here with us as well. So join the server now. And like I said, bring your A game because wussies are not allowed to join. As the action is fast, the action is pretty sick, to be honest with you. The UMP 45 is king in this game, as is the laser sight and the PSG-1. So you can hear some of the sounds there in the background. Yes, look at that. Default Quake 3 sounds, too. I'm actually going to switch now to the G36, which actually has two modes. Oops, it has a three-round burst as I shoot down my teammate, Dan. It's got a three-round burst and a single shot. That is it. There is no full automatic on the G36, and the weapon model is actually pretty bad, too, as you can hear it going off in the background there. Some good gaming action going on here as we see a couple new gamers joining the server. So as I said, get your game on. Hop in the server with us right now. We are going retro. 1.27 is what we are playing. And many of the gamers here having a good time with it. Glad to see they like 1.27 because we have not actually touched on this in a long time. And, you know, gamers are a finicky bunch at times. They don't like changes. And, you know, they all talk about the 1.27 days. Well, here is an opportunity for you to actually experience what Urban Terror was like in the early days. And, yes, I know I am a team killer here. I'm trying to talk and shoot at the same time. I'm not good at that, let alone shooting without talking. So if you get in front of my gun, guess what? You're going to die. So anyways, action. Can you see there? I got a couple of kills. I just gunned down somebody. I don't know who it was. Doesn't matter. We're having a good time, right? So as I said, the Urban Radio server is up and running. So who's in front of me here? Blade's in front of me of P. Not sure what he's doing. Another team kill there. As you can't even begin to shoutcast. It's just a mad frag fest. That's all it is. You know, and there's a part on this map. We are on M-base, if I didn't say so. That there's nothing here. It's just a dead zone. Nobody there. God, I remember so many rounds of this at our local LAN party we used to play at. Having grenade wars through the doors. Oh, I'm going to kill you, too. Got you. Oh, Ted shot. Down goes Rock DK. Oswald being the man here. As I now have a whopping 8 kills. 10 deaths. Oh, look at that. Another kill. Fabian, you suck. From the sniper spot. Yes, you should all fear me. Uh-oh. I'm out of bullets. Oh, two more kills. Look at Oswald going to town here. Now he finally dies. So that is the Urban Terror, Urban Radio server of the week. Feel free to get in the action right now. Once again, I do want to thank Jagged at VT Networks for putting up the server this week. And I do understand that European gamers would like this over in Europe, so we may look at getting that next week for those in Europe. So stay tuned for that. I'll have that information up on the urbanterror.net site here coming this week. Going to move to the league news now. This week, thanks in part to No Leaf Clover, he will recap the STA Pro Bowl for us. If you happen to miss it, you can go to Stigmatized Radio and download the MP3 and check out all the action. But for now, we're actually going to tune in and listen, and NLC is going to give us his take on the Pro Bowl recap.
Salutations, this is No Leaf Clover, and I hope you all are enjoying listening to Urban Radio with your host, Oswald, here on Radio ITG. As you know, I'm here to talk about an event that occurred on March 6, 2005, when the stronger-than-all Urban Terror community was witness to the return of a legendary event in the league's history-filled past. For the first time in over 3 years, we experienced the STA Pro Bowl. It was an exceptional battle between those voted best in the league. It was a very action-packed, hard-hitting, and truly fun match to watch and, from what I hear, to participate in. Those who were selected for the Pro Bowl were done so by vote. Each team submitted their number one and number two player of their own team, along with 10 players from other clans that they felt were deserving of Pro Bowl status. Internal clan votes were weighted more heavily than the external ones, so as to prevent things from becoming a popularity contest and more based on true knowledge of who contributes the most to a given team. And so we had two teams, each led by an admin. We had Zero's Happy Hoppers against Rashley's Lovin' Laggers. Zero's Happy Hoppers, we had AF, B, Civil, Keeper, Shroomy, and the Saints. Clans represented there include ICU, Liminal, Veneration, and Corrupted Asylum. For Rashley's Lovin' Laggers, we had Audio Axies, Buzz, Fud, Mech, Ziggy, K-Killer, and Flaw. Clans represented there include the No Names, Terminal, Black Ops Squadron, Blam, and ICU. There were a few members that were supposed to participate in the Pro Bowl. They got voted in, unfortunately could not make it. Foozle from Veneration, Lies from Vex, Seffy from CA, and Mokaz from Fear. Mokaz is more commonly known as Anticipate. It was unfortunate that these four members were not able to participate in the end. But regardless, we had an excellent matchup. The map was UT Casa for two maps, and if it was to go to a tiebreaker map, since it was the best of three, the map to be played was Proving Grounds Day. The first map, we had the Laggers on blue, the Hoppers on red. Ended up being a very, very hard-fought, hard-hitting match with some very close calls, some excellent flag runs, and some amazing flag returns. There were a few instances where the flag was returned literally inches from being capped. It was one case in which a member of the blue team was about to capture the flag within 5 feet. He gets sniped by a member of the red team. A teammate of his, the blue team member, picks up the red flag, brings it another 3 feet closer to the blue flag. Just about to cap it, he gets gunned down by an LR-300 of a member of the red team. The guy from the red team returns the flag, grabs the blue one, and heads out. It was an incredible moment to behold as a shoutcaster, and I'm sure as a member of the audience. And it was not the only time things like that happened. It was a great match. Capture the Flag obviously is known for being a very strong teamwork-oriented game type, and of course these members of both teams were from various clans, so that gelling as a team had to occur very, very quickly. But needless to say, every member of the match showed off some amazing talent, and it was beautiful to watch. First map went to the Laggers 6-4. We went into round two. Sides switched. We had the Laggers on red, the Hoppers on blue. The Hoppers came back with a fury with on the blue side, really keeping a bit of a differential all the way through, even though the Laggers tried to come back. The Hoppers would always retaliate with a cap. Now, the way it was to work was that the team with the higher cap differential at the end of the first two rounds would get to choose which side they want on Proving Grounds. Now, Proving Grounds Day, it's a balanced map, symmetric, but the spawns are slightly in favor of the red, as red tends to spawn outside the base a bit more frequently than blue. Well, the Laggers, though they had only won by two and were down by three in the second round, within the last, I'd say, 30 seconds or so, fought to the death, grabbed the flag, and made it home to make the score 5-3 and nullify the differential advantage that the Hoppers had. It was that time that we had to flip a coin to see which team would get side preference on Proving Grounds Day, and it was to be Rashley's Lovin' Laggers. As a member of the Laggers had to leave, we had a replacement, Flaw, come in. Flaw, one of the longtime members of the Urban Terror community, a very, very, very talented player. And it was definitely to the Laggers' advantage, as they came out with a decisive 8-4 victory on Proving Grounds Day. All scores from the Laggers led by Fud. All scores from the Hoppers led by Civil. It was a great match to behold. A very strong shooting shown by both teams. Some great flag runs, amazing flag returns, and just Urban Terror at its finest in terms of the essence of it, the shooting, the movement, It was an incredible game to watch, and I strongly encourage, if you were unable to make the match, unable to witness it, it is available. The Shoutcast MP3 and my Shoutcaster demos are available at stigmatized.noleafclover.net. Feel free to click the link in my SIG in the Urban Terror forums, and be sure to download the STA Season 8 Pro Bowl. Thank you, and back to you, Oswald.
Hey, thanks a lot, No Leaf Clover, for that update on the Pro Bowl there. Unfortunately, I have downloaded. I have not tuned into it quite yet, not enough time, as I continue to bring all the coverage from the European leagues. Clan Base is currently what we are playing, and that's basically only game in town, I believe, right now, or should I say over in Europe. Action continues from the spring 2005 Open Cup, where group stage play is slowly drawing to a close. Both clans are either playing their third or fourth match, with only about one, possibly two remaining. Remember that only the top two clans in each group will move on into the playoffs. That's three leagues, four groups in each league, a total of 24 clans moving into the playoffs. Now, I don't want to bore you with any details, as I know many in the U.S. probably don't care about the clan-based coverage. There are some, and have been, some outstanding gaming and some outstanding clans involved. International Quake Squad, Tricky Clan, Nemesis Corp, Just Frag, and Extreme Generation, Crypt 54, Slow Fossa, Unknown Fighters, GPG, The Dust, D-Nix Blicka. Those are just some of the clans who have 3 and 4 wins and are already looking toward the playoffs. ITG continues to bring you all the thunder from Clanbase. You like that play on words there? As we take you inside the game from the first frag to the final cup. If you'd like to take part in listening to the coverage, and go to radioitg.com and click on the schedule for the weekly coverage. I've been providing almost daily coverage from Clanbase, so tune in, listen, and play. Now, I know one thing, as I'm going to go off on a tangent here one more time. I know No Leaf Clover will probably talk about this too, but some clans want to know who the best is. Why they want to compare penis size is really beyond me, but, you know, it's basically a pissing contest, but... You know, North American clans and European clans alike, I'm not just going to limit it to North American, want to know who the best is. Well, my idea, which I actually brought to the forefront here a couple weeks ago on Urban Radio, was to possibly try and get one or two groups of North American clans. That's anywhere from 6 to 12 clans to participate in an upcoming cup. Now, you know, it may be First League and Second League. They may both be in the Premier League. I don't know how it would fall into place. That's not for me to decide. But one of the rules in Clanbase is that if you have enough clans from a geographical location, there's a good chance they will actually make a group for those clans. So my idea was, well, let's get 12 clans who want to play together, think they can compete in Clanbase, get them together, they can play in their own group stage, and then when playoff time rolls around, you'll have 4 clans from North America that move on into the playoffs, and those 4 clans will take on other clans from Europe. I thought it was a perfectly acceptable idea. Now, I know you're going to run into issues. You're going to run into ping issues and time issues, and that's to be expected. I don't know what else to do about it. They usually play around 21, 22 CET, which is 9 hours from the West Coast. That's usually 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time, so roughly 3 or 4 Eastern time. So if you're around 3 to 4 Eastern time, then, hey, great, maybe it'll work out. But if not, I think the scheduling, the time is going to be a little bit different. But that is my idea, and I'm actually going to bring that up to Impa and Wiz over at Clanbase. So far today, no clans have emailed me. Nobody has showed any interest. So, I mean, if we get no interest in this, and yes, I know no names are already in Clanbase, but they are only on the ladder. They are not in the Open Cup. That is what I am pushing for. I am pushing for U.S. clans in the next Open Cup in their own group. I think that means more than actually being on a ladder, because right now, anybody can participate on the ladder. The continued complaining I get from North American clans is, we're not allowed to play in Clanbase Open Cup. Well, that's the rules. Deal with the rules how they are. If you don't like it, you have your own leagues. You have TWL. You have STA. OGL, I don't even know if anybody plays in OGL anymore, but you have those two leagues. I know there's at least one or two leagues that are actually on the horizon here, possibly going to be playing Urban Terror. So what else do you want? I don't know what else to do. If this can work and we do get 12 clans, No Leaf Clover, help me out here, my friend. do some pimping, talk to some of the clans, see if they like that idea, and get me a list of 12 clans who will be able to do this. I think it would be a great addition to clan base, and I do think it would make it a little bit more worldly. And it would be Team Survivor. That's all they play in Open Cup. Rarely do they play CTF, just because CTF is not a big game. Yeah, see, that's the problem. TS, no Leaf Clover says forget it. So, I mean, if that's the case, then, you know, I guess you're out of luck. I guess North America continue to compete in STA and TWL, but I'm going to continue pushing on it as well. So, anyway. And, yes, I'm well aware that Europeans don't like American clans in the Open Cup. I'm fully aware of that. But, you know, I don't know. I'm doing what I can. You guys can do what you can. If it doesn't meet the middle, then, you know what? Screw it. I guess we don't need it. Over to the Urban Terror mailbag now. News from Midget Killer and Wolfseye, as the Urban Terror Map Depot and the ActOfWar.de website are joining forces after much time and senseless competition, which never should happen. Our sites, MapDepot.com and ActOfWar.de, have decided to work together more closely concerning news, events, and downloads. Since working for the community should exclude working alone all along, we've decided to move on and forget our differences. Hopefully by working together, we will be able to serve everyone in this community much more than we could possibly do alone. Both sites have come a long way to where they are now, and it wouldn't have done it without your support. Sorry, I'm reading this from Wolfseye, so if it doesn't sound right, I'm trying to improvise here. And with support now and in the future, you will help to ensure that this community will always have a home for its maps and file resources. Plans we have for the near future include a uniting party in approximately 2 weeks, and this will include a little 3v3 Urban Terror Worldwide Custom Battle Royale, a big party in IRC, and possibly a little radio show. Who knows? Wolf and Midget will give you more information and details about that soon. In the meantime, you're welcome to walk around and explore both their sites and the resources they offer. If you have any ideas or suggestions for their sites or for the site together, please let them know. Also, I want to pass this along to you from Wolfseye. He says, it's about Quake 3. It's a mod called Gridiron. It's kind of like American football with rocket launchers and that sort of stuff. It's very nice. The AOW team has started a server for this. You can join the server at 217.20.117.151, port 28150. All the files you need are on activewar.de on the main page. You just need the full file, the .exe or the .zip, and the patch. And get in the action and play. I mean, just trying to keep some of the Quake 3 mods alive, and, you know, like playing 1.27 today. I know gamers are having a good time doing that. So feel free to participate. Go to activewar.de and check that out. And I think I have one more thing here from Wolfseye. Let me go back in my message here in my PM. nope, I think that is it. I'm sure Wolfseye will let me know if I forgot something. Knowing me, I probably forgot something. Also in the mailbag this week comes two interviews, both which are linked over on the Urban Terror forums. Thanks, Wolfseye told me I got it all, so that's a good deal. I did get it all. Two interviews this week. First one coming from xfire.be. It's a Return to Castle Wolfenstein site. You can check out that information. It is listed. I'm going to drop both the links here if you want to check it out. There's two links over in Pound Urban Terror on ETG. But I was asked to provide an interview for Tosspot at xfire.be. And as I said, that is the Return to Castle Wolfenstein site, about the upcoming ETUT port. And pretty general questions. I mean, there was nothing that was in the way surprising or new. One of the things that I did find interesting, his question was, let's move on to modding. You talk about it almost as if you're a high school band looking to score that record contract. Is that a good comparison? And my answer was, it's an interesting comparison, that's for sure. But what Urban Terror has allowed us is an opportunity to get our name and work out to the community. We have had the opportunity to speak with id Software and Activision one-to-one, along with keeping the lines of communication open to Splash Damage and id Software. What we have done to date is a great accomplishment by all those who have worked on the mod over the years, but it will require more work, organization, and planning in order to take the development to the next step and actually compete with the real pros in the industry. Now, I do think that we can compete. I do think we're probably still a little short on talent taking nothing away from the group that we have right now, but we do need more involvement. We do need some, you know, some more dedicated people the way we're dedicated. And actually, I'll talk about something here at the end of the show. You can hear my paper rattling right here. This is something I'm going to read you that I pulled out of the San Francisco Chronicle this week, and it talks about game makers and their projects and the workers' needs. So we'll touch on that here in a little bit. The other interview came from Takro of the Portuguese community. As many know, I am a big homer for Portugal. Don't ask me why. I think they have a solid community, some of the best clans that participate in Urban Terror over in Clan Base. And what else can I say? You can read the link there. But some of the questions he asked me, for example, he says, there's been rumors in the past that Sid had other parallel projects in the works, Doom 3 mod and other, etc. Will you continue to develop and further tune the URT in the future, or will the development stop after ETUT is released? And my response to that was, we have been looking towards the future and possible projects for a few years now. Continued development on ETUT will really be based on the initial response we receive when the mod is released. If the mod is bug-free and plays as we expect it to, then the community is happy. We might not make any updates to it. Right now, I don't think we can really answer that until we get ETUT released. Based on past development, there will probably be some future work on ETUT. Just how much at this point is not known. So those are just a couple of questions, and you can get all the information on both those interviews on the forums, or you can go to Pound Urban Terror right now, as I going to spam them one other time. And you can check out both of those interviews. I do want to thank Tosspot and Takro for taking the time to interview us. Or actually, I should say me, but I think I speak for most of the team. And, you know, like I said, the answers are pretty straightforward. There's nothing that I think I couldn't handle in that interview. From Spawn over at Dead Llamas comes information on a new level from Doof Kine called UT Fast Fight, created for a fast-paced 1v1 or 2v2 action. Other than that, community news kind of slim this week. As you would like presented to the community, all you have to do is contact me, oswald@planetquake.com, and I'll make sure that we get it on the air. And when we come back, we're going to go into our free-for-all segment, and I'll take a look at workers' needs as it relates to game development. This from the GDC, which took part this week in San Francisco.
Would you like some of this?
Rocket launcher, LG style, and a nice jump pad assault on the quad unit by Ricky. He's bounced with the rocket, and Paul Wall's going to pick up that quad.
Or some of this.
Third Templar in front, killing off several zealots. Nicely done here by Pyrrhus. He's pushing back for Ricky slowly but surely. He's got a Dark Templar to deal with.
How about both?
I love you.
I love you too.
This is Radio ITG.
We'll be right back.
cutting edge of gaming. Play by play Monopoly. This is Radio ITG.
And once again, welcome back to Inside the Game. Oswald here is we slowly start to wind things up here. I'm in my last segment here, the free-for-all segment. I belong to the IGDA. That stands for International Game Developers Association. So every now and then I do receive information. I watch their forums and whatnot about the GDC, which is a Game Developers Conference, which actually took place this last week here in San Francisco. And actually, Dr. 8, he spoke at the GDC in Australia back in, I believe it was 2001, about modding, about creating a community and basic development. But I pulled this article out of the Fish Wrap this week about the conference, and it was titled Game Maker's New Project, Workers' Needs. In some regards, I'm sure this could relate to any job you hold in life, but since we're talking games and game development, that is what it actually centers around. It says, most of the video game industry insiders attending a conference Tuesday in San Francisco followed the siren song of seminars on pixel shaders, storyboarding, and other technical topics. But 85 executives, artists, programmers, and producers broke free from the day-long summit on the industry's quality of life or lack thereof. The summit's softly spoken message was this: pay more attention to the needs of people, like Dan Roy, a college senior who was quickly taking notes from the back of the room. I care more about the quality of life than actually getting into the industry, confessed a computer science major who co-founded the Game Developer Club at University of Massachusetts Amherst. It's a frightening thought for industry executives who have long continued, who have long counted on their employees' enthusiasm for working endless hours to produce the coolest video games, and I think I could probably get similar comments from some of the people on Urban Tear for what we've been doing the past 5 years. The issue of work-life balance is looming large at the week-long GDC because of an anticipated shortage of computer programmers. Equally worrisome are the wave of recent class-action lawsuits from disgruntled game employees fed up with unrelenting work schedules and unpaid overtime. EA, are you listening? In the last 9 months, overtime lawsuits have been filed against Vivendi, Universal Games, Sony Computer Entertainment, and most notably, yes, Electronic Arts of Redwood City, the world's largest video game maker. Underscoring the new mood of the video game industry, a pair of attorneys who filed the Sony and EA suits trolled to the summit for new clients. All this suggests that the pervasive perception that game developers are maniacal, obsessive compulsives who have no interest in anything else except games, and thus joyfully toil for 70 hours a week under ulcer-inducing pressure, is probably out of date, said Summit co-chair Francois Laramie. The stereotype may not reflect our workforce anymore, said Laramie, a freelance game developer who contributed to more than 25 games, much less people will have to steal away from Google and Pixar in years to come. The summit's recurring theme was happy employees are productive employees. Panelists offered plenty of ideas on how to heighten their happiness quotient, family-friendly policies and daycare for the kids, health insurance and time off for emergency. Deborah Tillett, president of Breakaway, a Hunt Valley, Maryland game studio, suggested celebrating employees' birthdays to boost morale. It's a stupid little thing, Tillett said. All it is a cake once a month, but we have them. During a break, Rockstar Vancouver administrative assistant Melinda Barker explained how her company is trying to improve the quality of life for programmers and artists by serving healthier, heartier meals. When you're working late shifts and long shifts, you have a crappy piece of pizza for dinner. Doesn't make you feel very good, says Barker, who is in charge of ordering the meals. She's replaced greasy takeout dishes with vegetarian lasagna, Thai curries, and even organic options. The laundry list of suggestions caught the attention of some EA employees, including company spokeswoman Tammy Schachter, who sat in the third row. I notice we're doing a lot of things right, said Schachter. EA applauds birthdays in a newsletter. It also serves cake. It was reassuring to see that, she said, but after more than 2 hours of talk, no one mentioned a truly meaningful change. Pay employees for all the hours they work. It seems fair that if they're working long hours, they should be compensated, said Jason Della Rocca, program director for IGDA, International Game Developers Association, which sponsored the summit. However, just opening the checkbook and paying everyone isn't a good solution either. Unpaid hours and merciless work schedules are at the crux of employees' complaints, but De La Roca said companies can deal with those problems by managing projects in smarter ways so employees won't be forced into extra hours. Toby Solner, vice president of product development for Vicarious Visions of Troy, New York, video game creator, said one way companies can do that is by accurately estimating the time needed for game developing, testing, and fixing. While the summit focused on recruiting and retaining rank-and-file workers, improving the quality of programmer and artist, improving the quality of life for programmers and artists also can help attract managers. Melanie Lamb, another student attending the summit, is weighing a job offer to join EA Maxis in a couple of months as an executive producer. I don't want to be a person saying you can't go home to your family's 3 weekends in a row to a 24-year-old. You don't want to be in a culture where there's absolutely no respect. So it's just interesting to see that some of the things that I know happen in my life in terms of not being compensated or working long hours or working crappy shifts or, you know, not being, I guess, celebrated for being a valued employee, it doesn't only happen in the airline industry or the IT industry. It happens everywhere. And the game industry is no different. I mean, you can only go so long on game development, on peer, hey, we have fun with this, but, you know, at one time or another, you're going to have to be compensated for what you do. So I thought that was kind of an interesting article. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you need it, let me know, and I will scan it and give you a copy of it. Yes, that's the music, Spanish Flea, playing in the background. That's going to do it for this week, Urban Radio. Thanks for being part of the listening community, and also to all those download and listen to the show after the facts. Thanks as well. Remember, you can find this and all previous Urban Radio shows at radioitg.com. Just click downloads and it'll connect you to our affiliate site, FileCloud. You can also download the shows from Act of War and Dead Llamas. I do want to thank Jagged once again and VT Networks for sponsoring the Urban Terror Urban Radio Server of the Week. Hopefully all of you who yearn to play Urban Terror 127 got your fix, and we will be doing this again next week, European style. So if you could not get in this week or missed out, fret not. We'll be back again next week with 1.27. I'm already preparing next week's show, so if you have anything to contribute, you know the email, oswald@planetquake.com. Remember, you can hear me here Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 2200 CET, as I host Just Push Play, where we flash back to the 80s. For Inside the Game, I'm Oswald. We'll see you next week.
It's over? All right, well, I'll be back next week with more kicking tunes for your booty butt.